Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Kretot Avav Amud Aleph, about to take a look at the next item on our list of the 36 Kretot, which is in Mishnah Aleph, Hamefatem et Haktoret, if one prepares the Ktoret. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with a bright, Hamefatem et Haktoret Lameidba Ulamosra Letzibur. So if you prepare the Ktoret in order to teach it, or to study how to make it, or to hand it to the Tzibur Patur, just as we have the Shevan HaMishcha, but if on the other hand you do it in order to smell it, chayav, if somebody smells the proper ktoret that's made, patur, ela shema'al, we'll have to see where that mi'ila comes from. Umika mi'ila bereach, since when is there any mi'ila in something you smell? V'hama Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mishum bar kapara, famous rule, kol umare v'reach, ein behen mishum ila. Sound, or voice as it were, vision, or seeing something, and smell, do not have any mi'ilah. Mi'ilah must be a tactile kind of use. So the answer is, re'ach achash tavah hibatoin bo mishum mi'ilah. There's no mi'ilah once the smoke has gone up. Alright, she'in lecha davar achash nasa mitzvato umu'alin bo. The reason for that is, because once something has completed its mitzvah, mi'ilah is off. Alamalo, is that really true? Very true. Mata deshen, the first thing the kohen does in the morning, which is to take the bit of the deshen out. Denaseh mitzvata molinba, there still is mi'ilah with trumat deshen after it's been placed on the side of the mizbeach. The answer is you're right. But mishum dahami trumat deshen mikdaik kuna shtek tu ma'im ke'achad. Choshamukdin ma'im ke'achad imalamdin. What happens is that the Torah goes out of its way to say that Trumat HaDeshen maintains its sanctified status, and therefore Milah attaches even after the mitzvah of Trumat HaDeshen had been done, and Sima Itzalam Yizbeach, and Bigdei Kuna, the special clothes of the Kohen Gadol, after their use in Yom Kippur, both have a din of mi'ilah afterwards, and they are shnei ktuvim ma'im ke'achad, and the Torah singled those two out to tell you that none other do. Now, Hanech Rabbanan, that works for Rabbanan. Rabbi Dosa, Ma'ika member, after all, Rabbi Dosa, as we'll see in a moment, holds that Bigdei Kuhuna do not maintain their sanctity after Yom Kippur. D'tanya, V'nicham Sham, and this is a Sugyan Yoma, that the Kohen Gadol has to leave his clothes there. Malamech, V'ninginizah, Chachamim say, that means you have to bury them and can't use them again. Rabbi Dosa, Omer, K'sherinhein, the Kohen Idiot, they can be used by Kohen Idiot, for instance, the Evnait. It just can't be used for another Yom Kippur. Each Yom Kippur needs its two sets of clothes that are made special for it. So we don't have Shnei Ktuvim, and now for Trumat HaDeshen should be a model for everything. The answer is Mishum Nahavi Trumat HaDeshen, Egla Arufa Shnei Ktuvim Maim Keachad. Egla Arufa also maintains its sanctity after it's used. V'chol Shnei Ktuvim Maim Keachad Ein Malam Din. Right? Trumat HaDeshen Mahi. Let's see the background. The Tanya V'samo Etzal Mizbeach. The Kohen puts it next to his Mizbeach. What does Melamed, is Samo mean? So we saw earlier, Samo Benachat, Shelo Yifazer. Here it's Melamed, and we have that at the end of Tmurah. Melamed to Unin Gniza. It has to be placed there and not used again. They break the neck of the egla and leave it in the Nacham Melamed to Unin Gniza. You can't use it anymore, and therefore it maintains its status. Now, in Masachet Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Hey, we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shnei Ktuvim Maim Keachad Melamdin. Sometimes you could have something where the Torah states it as two examples, and it still could be a model. Hachavada in Melamdin. Nonetheless, here it's not, because each one of Trumat HaDeshen and the Gvar Rufa has a miut. Trumat HaDeshen Ktiv Vesamo. Put it. Hadein in midi achrini lo. Nothing else has that status. And gabe egla arufa ktiv ha arufa. Arufa in midi achrini lo. Only this neck that's been broken, this animal that's had its neck broken and nothing else, maintains a sanctity after its use. So that means that our original statement is accurate, that the ktoret, once it's been burned and starts going up in column of smoke, mi'ila doesn't attach. And the statement of Mi'ilah earlier is if you smell it before it's been burned. Tanabana, Pituma Ktoret, a very famous Braita, it shows up in our Sidurim. How is the Ktoret prepared? Hatsori, Vatsipone, Chalbana, Vavona. Those four particular herbs or grasses, Mishkal Shivim, Shel Shivim Maneh. You take 70 manes worth of each of them. Mor Uktsia, Vishibolet, Ner, Vicharkom. Those four are taken mishkal shisha asar shel shisar maneh, much less 16 maneh each. Hakosht shnei masar kilufar shlosha kinamon tishan. I'm not sure what all of these are. famously, the people are already working on preparing all of these materials. But these are the 11 pieces that go into the Ketoret, and these are the measurements. Now, besides those 11, we have some catalysts. Borit Karshina, it's a kind of lye, Tisha Kabin. Yen Kafrisin Se'in Tlata, that's 3 Se'in of either wine from Kafrisin or wine of caper nuts, caper bushes. Kabin Tlata, so it's 3 Se'in and 3 Kabin, which is 3.5 Se'in. If you don't have yen kafrisin, you can bring old white wine. It will do the same thing. We'll find out what they're supposed to do. Melach stomit rova. You bring a rova kav of stomi of sadom salt. Ma'alei ashan kolshu, and a little bit of smoke starter. Rabbi Natan omer af kipat yarden kolshu. You could also bring some of this grass from the Yarden. It does the same thing. If you put honey into it, as tempting as it might be, you invalidate it. And if you left any one of the simanim out, then you are chayav mita. This is why some people have the practice. The Ramah suggests that when you say pitumak Torah, it's because the saying, the recitation of it is in place of the Torah. People count with their fingers to make sure that they don't miss any because of this concern of leaving something out. Now, Rishimon Omer, Hatsori, what is Tsori? It is sap that comes from a particular kind of tree. Borit Karshina. Now we go to the catalyst. The Borit Karshina, what's that? Shafin Bati Tziporin. We take Tziporin, which is not contemporary Tziporin, which is cloves. We take Tziporin and you rub it on it. Kadesh Te Na'as, so it should be nice. Yen Kafrisin, what's that used for? Shorin Bata Tziporin. Then you take the Tziporin, soak it in this wine. Kadesh Te Azash, so it should have some pungency. Alo Miragwain Yafin La. But really, urine would work better for that. You don't bring meraglaim into the mikdash. Not nice. Now, that's the Braita. The end of the Braita, Messiah Rabbi Yosef Chanina, De Amar, Rabbi Yosef Chanina's opinion is, Kodesh hi alachem, about the Ketoret. What does that mean? He interprets, Kol maaseh aldo yu elaba kodesh. It means not only that it is sanctified, but it has to be prepared in the Azora. So therefore, you can't bring meraglaim in. If you can prepare it at home, you can use whatever you want and then bring it in. Is that really true? And this takes us back to some sugyot that we've already seen, especially at the end of Temurat, with the status of the different animals in your property if you're makdish everything. But here is another step. And if you remember, we already dealt with what happens if there are animals male and animals female that are fit for the Yizbeach. There's also another braita that talks about what happens if you have wine, and you have flour, and you have oil that could go on the Mizbeach, and then you have this one. You're makdish everything you own, and there's things that belong to, that could, are fit for korbanot tzibur. Yinatnula umanin bischaran. You use that material to pay off the workers of the mikdash for their pay. We'll see how that works. Now, parenthetically, and this is really the point, what are these things that are fit for the Mizbeach? Ibeim avachai, if it's animals, tanalech, really behemah, we already learned them. And that's the Mishnah we saw several times by Blazer Meshua. Ian Oshvani Vislato Tanale. We have another Braita that talks about wines and oils, and it's actually in the Mishnah, and flour. The only thing left is Ketoret. So you see that a person can be Makdish's property and have Ketoret in his property, which means it can be buried outside of the Mikdash. So Rashaya Be'altani Tanat Lomani Mischaran. What we're talking here is not the, about here is not the regular Ketoret, but the surplus Ketoret, as follows, to Tanya. And now we'll see how it's used to pay off the workers. Teaches the follows, which is motarak torat mayosinba. What happens if at the very end of the year, at the end of Adar, there's torat left over from the big torat that they prepared at the beginning of the year, and we will see that every year there is some surplus, and then once in a while not. Not every year. I mean, most years there's a surplus. We'll see why. What they would do is they would set aside payment for the workers in the mikdash in coin. Then they take the extra ktoret and be machalel it on that money. So now the ktoret is chulin. Then they use the ktoret and give it to the umanin. What are they going to do with ktoret? Then they take the new fund of shkalim for the new Nisan from the end of Adar, and then they would buy the Ketoret back from them, and then they'd get paid with money. So it's a way of kind of circling money out so that they can get paid with money, and the Ketoret doesn't have to be disposed of. And that's the Ketoret we could be talking about. The question is that will work? The problem is, Rav Yosef points out, that in all of the other cases, we explicitly mention that the surplus is sold and then bought back. It doesn't say that here about the Dvarim Ariyin LeMizbeach. So what is it? Rav Yosef, Be'achad Misamenei HaKtoret. So what did the Mishnah mean when it says Dvarim Ariyin LeMizbeach? It didn't mean the Ketoret as a finished product, but one of the components of the Ketoret is a raw product. That's what it means, which still supports Rav Yosef Chanina, or at least defends him, against the attack on his position that the Ketoret had to be prepared in the Mikdash. Okay, Tana Banan. Ketoret Tana Aseit Shin Samachet, meaning 368 manet. They make 368 manet. Shin Samachet, meaning 365 keg yimotachama, which means they'd make it for the solar year. That's why there was often a surplus. Three extra that the Kohen Gadol would put into his armfuls and bring in on Yom Kippur for the special Ketoret in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Whatever the surplus was would go through the Umanin, as we saw. As we just saw. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Otarik Toret, Achat L'Shishim L'Shivim Shana. Once every 60 or 70 years, you'd end up with so much surplus with the buyback and everything. Hayu Fatmino Talachat Sa'in. They would have enough for half a year, and then they would prepare only half a year's worth, because they'd have so much left over. The Fichach, Yachit Shepitem Lachat Sa'in Chayav. This is something we saw a couple podcasts ago, that therefore, if you prepare a half shear of the Ketoret, you're Chayav. He quoted Skana Kohanim, who said that that was the report, that they had a tradition that every 60 or 70 years the surplus would add up to the point that they would make less at the beginning of the year, and therefore if you make a smaller amount than the large recipe, you're still chayav. He said, but to make only a third or a fourth, that I haven't heard, and therefore you would not be chayav. Chachamim omrim b'chol yom etaken matkunta v'yamachnis. They said that you didn't make the big mix at the beginning of the year, but rather every day they would make the mix and they would bring it in, which means you'd be chayav even for making a small amount, because that still was a proper amount to make. Messiah Lele Rava, and this supports Rava as we saw, Dama Rava, Ketoret Shepit Molachat Sa'in Chayav. If you prepare a half shear of Ketoret, you're chayav, Dichtiv, Ketoret Asher Taseh, Kol Shetaseh, whatever you make. Efshad Avda Pashach, Yifas Ben Arbayim. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. They would take this big Ketoret that they made at the beginning of the year, and they would put it back into the grinder twice a year. They'd put it into the grinder sometime in the summer, spread out, so it doesn't get moldy. In the winter, they'd put it back in the grinder one time, all compact, so that the strength of the scent should not dissipate. And when he would grind, Omer Hadek Hetev Hetev Hadek, they would recite this kind of rhythmic thing. Grind it well, well grind it. Divrei Abba Yosef and Yochanan. And we'll see about why that is. V'shalosh manim terin shemein chon gadol mechlis v'ochof rav Yom Kippur. The extra three manim, they put it back in the grinder on Erev Yom Kippur, even though it had already gone in to the grinder at the beginning of the year. Shachakan yafe yafe, and you regrind it even better. Kitei daka min adaka, that should be super fine. Kedetanya daka, the Torah talks about the Ketoret on Yom Kippur being daka, finely ground. Matam ulamar, what's the Torah teaching? Well, the Kfar Nemar shachakan min hadek. In the regular parsh of Ketoret in Kitisa, it says hadek. Matam ulamar daka. Why does it say daka again? Kedesh daka min adaka, it has to be super fine for Yom Kippur. Okay, I'm a mark. So we had the statement that when you grind it, the fellow would do a little recitation. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kashem shadibur ralayayin." Just like it's bad to speak and make noise while you're processing wine, kashem yafel absirim. Speaking is good for preparing basamim. And the reason given by some of the Rishonim is because the rhythm that you use in speaking this chant out is a good rhythm to work by, and it'll keep you grinding in a rhythmic fashion. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Yudav samim namrud al Moshe v'Sinai. Said these 11 components were given to Moshe at Har Sinai. I'm not one of my crowd, but there's got to be an allusion in the text, and the answer is: take a look at the key pasuk about the Torah. Kach lacha samim natafu shchelet v'chelbana samim ulvana zakat. So now, kach lacha samim is a general term. Samim, two, minimal plural. Tray. Natafu, Shchelet, V'chalbana, those are three different kinds. We'll see what they are momentarily. We had different words for them in the Braita, which was in the colloquial, but this is the biblical text. Hachamisha, that comes out to five, because you had two plus three. And then Samim, it says Samim again, and the idea is now not another two, but now another replica of what we've just seen, that's another five. Ha'asara, that's ten. Well, Vanaza Kachad, and then after that second Samim, it mentions this frankincense, and that's another one. So that means Hachad Sari. There's your 11. 11 of which only 4 are mentioned explicitly, and the other 7 are inferred from the word Samim, the first time meaning 2, the second time the way it's located meaning 5. Now, Ve'ema, why don't we read it differently? Samim, klal, natav shchel v'chalbana, prat, samim chazar v'chalal. So read the two samim on each side as a klal, the three in the middle is a prat. Klal v'prat v'klal, klal yatadan alikena prat. Why don't we just use that system and say, the Torah told us about three, and now anything that's similar to those three will fit. Ma prat, which means there's not 11, and there's not specific ones except for those three. Ma prat v'furash tavash kiter v'ole v'rechono deif. Just as those three are things that have a strong smell and go up in columnar smoke. So, of course, anything else that fits that criterion can go in. Criteria. And then you could argue, if that was the case, the Torah would just write one example, like Nataf. The answer is lie, indeed, because mitzvah tzrichi, we need all three. Why? Di'ikatav nataf, nataf comes from the trees. So then maybe the Torah insists it has to come from trees. Kidurei karkalo, but grasses and herbs not. Shmachakatav shchelet, shchelet is a kind of grass. Ikatav ushchelet, gidulei karkain. If it only said shchelet, I would think it has to come from herbs. Minilane malo, but sap from trees not. Shmachakatav nataf. And of course, chelbana is very famous, the gufei atam neshirecha ra. Because it has a foul smell, and that's quite a big chiddush that we would use that. All right. So now, im kein mikach lachanafka. The answer, the reason that we don't want to use a klal paro klal is because then the klal would not be samim, but kach lacha right beforehand. V'ema samim batroi train. So we have a different question, which is something we sort of alluded to. Why don't we say that the second instance of the word samim means again two? And therefore, kesamim kadmoi, because then you'd end up with 2, 3, and 2, that's 7, and then 8. Vilvona would be number 8. So the answer is, imke nichtov samim samim adadadadi. Then the Torah should just write samim samim, 2, 4, plus another 3. So the sequence tells us that the second samim is 5. So basically, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the approach is that all 11 were given to Moshe Mitzrayim, and there's an allusion to the number 11 by the structure of the pasuk. The Rabbi Shmuel Tani, but he actually says it is a klal apart of klal. Samim klal, nataf shchelet v'chalbana prat, samim chazar v'chalal. It is a klal apart of klal, apart of klal, yadon v'rat, and how does that work? My partner furash tavash kitev olav reichon odev. Kol tavash kitev olav reichon odev, as we said. In other words, the proposal that we shot down in Rabbi Yochanan's approach, we accept in Rabbi Shmuel's approach. That's what he says. O eino ala klal b'chalal rishonu prat b'prat rishon. We'll see what that means. In other words, perhaps, and we have this enigmatic phrase, klal bechlal rishon and prat beprat rishon, and we reject it and say we'll go the first way, not the second way. What does that mean? What was he asking? He was saying, why don't we say that the second instance of Samim is just another two? Hadavishani Kedushanun. And then we explained the way that we did, which is that if we only wanted to put the number two in there, it would have said Samim Samim, not Samim, not Avashchid Chabana, Samim. My part before Rishon, what's the second half of the question? Why don't you just have one, which is just you have Nataf, teaches you trees. That Gidulei Karka we get from Shechelet. And why didn't we include Levana Zakat in our prat that has one of the two criteria, which is the Neiti Devarash Rechon Odeif? It has a good smell, Afisha in Koter Voleh, but it doesn't have a column or smoke. And then we would say anything that has a strong smell goes in, whether it rises or not. Hadamain came Nichtov Kal, Levana Zakat Mitzvite Lefmina. They said no, because if that were the case, the Torah would have put Levana in the middle, not in the in back of the second Kal. We say that doesn't work because he cut the levona zaka mitzay havin treyasar. If you did that, then you'd end up with 12, right? Because you would end up with samim 2, another 3, another 1. That's levona. Then you have 6, and then samim. Then you'd now replicate that, and you'd have 12. Sim ken yichtov kras. So then we have a solution. Let it say levona zaka mitzay v'chalbena l'masof. Let it write nataf u'shchilat v'levona. And put chalbana on the outside. Alright, so therefore, we see that, that you need both criteria, which is columnar smoke, and therefore the levona zakah is treated separately, and it's, you'll say min haklal. Literally. Now, Resh Lakish amar migufah, he says, the way I know that you need columnar smoke is from the word itself. Malashon ktoret, what's ktoret? Tarash kotev, or less, and then you burn it, goes up. So, Amav Chana Babizna Babashimon Chasida, famous drasha. Anytime you have a fast and you don't include sinners in the fast, enatani doesn't count. Look what's included in the ketoret. The chelbana. The chelbana has foul, pungent smell. It's one of the 11 pieces that that we include in the ketoret that is used in the Kodesh. So by Amar, he has a different text for the same idea. They have to include every mihacha, v'agudato al eretz yisada. That God's group is founding on the earth when they're all together. That's the foundation that we need. Okay, the next item on the list is Hasach b'shemen hamishcha. And that is using the shemen hamishcha to anoint. Not the prohibition and the karet for making it, but for using the one that Moshe made. Tanaman, Hasach b'shemen hamishcha lebehema v'kelim. Let's say you put it on animals or on kelim. Patur. Legoyim u'lemetim patur. So we'll see when you're chayav. Bishtaba b'mal kelim. I understand why putting it on animals or vessels doesn't count. Tichtiv. Abasar adam lo yisach. The Torah says you can't put it on people. Obeimal kelim of adamu. Neither of those are adam. Metim nami patur. Also putting it on the dead that they would do to make their bad smell go away. You see the sugya in the 8th parak of Brachot. Dekevim demitle meit nikri lo adam. Once they're dead, they're not called adam. Ela goyim amai patur. Why is putting it on non-Jews patur? So hadam nina, they're people. So the answer is lie indeed. Dechtiv aten tsonit son mariti adam atem. You are adam. There's a pasuk that we use in the context of tumat ohel. Atem kriin adam vena goyim kriin adam. Yechezkel refers to Am Yisrael alone as adam. So really, adam only applies to Israel. But that's not true. Baktiv and Evershadam Shisha Asar Aleph. When we took the captivity from Midian, counting them up, we came up with slaves, people, Adam, who are not Jews, and called them Adam. So Malaya Rafukibemai. Yeah, that's there because it says to distinguish it from the shore and the chamor and the animals that were there. Baktiv, Anilo Achus on Ninveh, Erek Dolav, the last pasuk in Yonah, which talks about all the people who live in Ninveh and calls them Adam. And again, that's besides the Beima Rabbah, and the animals, besides that, there's all these Adam. So Adam could be used to refer to any human when it's there to distinguish from animals. But when it's used directly and specifically, it means Am Yisrael. V'baitema, I have a whole different answer. Adam means Goyim too. But the reason here is, Kedektani Tana Kamed Rabbelezer, Kol Shah Yeshtov Asach, Yeshtov Al Yisach. Only someone who is prohibited from anointing is prohibited from, could be an object for being anointed on for prohibition. And therefore, since a non-Jew is not prohibited from doing the anointing with Shemen HaMishcha on whatever he wants, therefore, although we not be likely to allow him to do so, therefore, if we do it on him, it doesn't count. Tanya Idach, we have another bright Sach, Meshem, Mishchal, Emal, Vekelim, the Goyim, the Meitim, Patur, as we just saw. The Melachim, the Kohanim, what if you anoint someone who's already a king or already a Kohen Gadol? It means they already got anointed. Remeir, Mechayev, Remeir, Poter. Alright, and now the next piece is, Kame Asuch Vechayav. How much do you have to put on to be Chayav? Remeir, Mechoshu, any amount of Yudah, Mechazayit. Now that's a little strange. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say Kazayit? Rabbi Yehuda just said you're exempt in all the cases. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Patur. The answer is, Kavat Rabbi Yehuda, Gavim Malachim Kohanim, and we'll see why he exempts if you put it on a king or a Kohen Gadol. Kavayot Bechayav, you put it on a regular guy, you are Chayav, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, you need a Kazayit. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, may Rabbi Yehuda, my plea you, what's their first machloket about? about Kazayit versus, the second machloket, about Kazayit versus Kolshu. Rav Yosef says, Bahapligi. Rameir Sava Abasar Dam Lo Yisachti. The Torah says, you shall not anoint it on a person. Putting it on a stranger, so Masicha Kolshu, just like rubbing is Kolshu, Afnetina Kolshu, so Netina is Kolshu. Any amount you put on, in other words, when you anoint, you can anoint with any amount. Netina is used in the context of kodshim when you eat truma and you have to pay to the kohen, and that's if you eat a kazayit. Netina da alma kazayit, so that netina in general is a kazayit. Netina da alzar kazayit. Same here. But everybody agrees, Yehuda agrees with the mayor, that the positive, affirmative anointment that you use on malachim and kohanim dolim, that's kolshu. What's the first machloket about? Whether or not you're chayav for anointing kings and kohanim gedolim, the hainu, people who already got anointed once in their life. The Torah says, if you put it on somebody who's a zar, who's a stranger, who's an outsider, once they got anointed, they're outsiders like everyone else. No, you need to have somebody who was a czar from the beginning to the end, and not somebody who had a point where they were supposed to get anointed. And Rabbi Meir and Yehuda are following their own position, their own reasoning, the Tanya. Bat Kohen Shini Saitli Yisrael Ve'achlabi Truma. If a Bat Kohen married Yisrael, and then she ate truma, which she's not allowed to do. She only pays Karen, she doesn't pay the Chomesh like a real outsider, because she's not a real Zara, because she's a born Bat Kohen. A Bat Kohen, a special thing, if she commits adultery, her death is Sreifa, and Petach Beit Aviah, her death is Sreifa, and not Chenek. But if on the other hand she married, let's say, a Mamzer, then Mishalemit Karen Vachomesh, she has to pay like an outsider. And then she's killed like a regular woman, which means the mayor says that a Bat Kohen who's not a Zara could become a Zara through her own actions. Chachamim, who we assume here is Rabbi Yehuda, Omrim, no matter who she married, she never pays Chomesh. Tatav is Sreifa, death is always Sreifa. And so therefore we assume this is Rabbi Yehuda, who says, once you're not a Zara, you're never a Zara. I'm Rabbi Yosef. The machloket here between Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda is about putting the Shem on HaMishcha. Everybody agrees that regular Tina of Shem on HaMishcha for Truma is Kazayit. Gufa, Tanya Tanak, earlier on we had the answer of why anointing a goy is not a chiyuv. Because the second answer is that because he's not himself prohibited from anointing. It was good. Lo yisachti v'kaybe lo yasich. Even though it says lo yisach, you could read it v'ktiv chaser as lo yasich. He shall not anoint others, and he shall also not be anointed. Tanu of Chananya came to Rava. Minayim the Kohen Gadol shenatam mishon amishcha sha'al roshom natan abnei me'av. Let's say a Kohen Gadol was being anointed, and he took some of the oil that was on his head, and he put it on his own stomach. Minayim shu chayav, how do we know he's chayav? Shenemar, al basar adam lo yisach. It was, he's putting it on his own, even though he's in the process of being anointed. Ava'acha b'red Rava l'rashi. Ma'ishtam ayad atanya Kohen shesach b'shem n'shaltruma. Bemito Yisrael mit'agel bo minachoshesh. How is that different than this? If a Kohen rubs some oil of truma on himself, he could take his grandson as a Yisrael, let's say his daughter married a Yisrael, he's got a grandson as a Yisrael, can come and rub against it, and that's not a violation of Truma. So his answer is, Atam umetuvoki chaluktiv. You, a czar dies for violating truma, for being machalel truma. Kevin achale has aitachil. But here, since the kohen already rubbed the oil on him, it's already mechalel, and it's already done its use. And now, there's nothing to profane, so the Yisrael grandson can come and rub against it. That the kohen got, that in that case it's the nazir, but he has it on him, meaning, shemen mishchat kray yarachmana. The Torah refers to it even while it's on him. As shemen mishcha, afagav to eat alav lo itachil. Even though it's on him, it still has the status of shemen mishcha. Says therefore, while the kohen gadol has the shemen mishcha on him, it still has that din, even though it's already been put on him. And there he violates it if he rubs it on his own stomach. Whereas with true shemen shel truma, the minute the kohen puts it on him, it no longer has that status. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll do the final podcast of the first parak. We meet next. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.